Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to Joking Not Joking. Am I joking? Are you joking? No, we're joking not joking. I am the professor. Today we get into one of the core questions of the lexicon. Realness. Mo and AC discuss finding objective truth in a distracting modern world. Staying authentic to oneself. And most of all, how to stay totally real. The guys are joined by their friend Quintessa Swindell, who played the role of Cyclone in the major motion picture Black Adam, alongside Mo. It has also appeared in HBO's Euphoria and played a lead role in Trinkets on Netflix. It's a wide-ranging conversation. Azar pulls out some of his best bars from the part of his brain that just stores endless quotes, most of the time useless, however endless, sometimes useful. And we're even visited by our dear friend, Redneck Tom.
Let's go.
Stay real and enjoy.
This is Joking Not Joking.
What up, everybody? It's Mo.
What's up? This is your boy, Azar Usman.
From Luminary, this is Joking Not Joking.
What is your truth, Mo?
Why does that make you laugh?
Yeah, it's just a funny statement. What is your truth? What is my truth? Well, my truth is, you know, like, I don't even know how to answer that. What is my truth? It's such a broad, well, truth about what? Like, about me, about my...
Your truth.
Your truth. Yeah, it's so confusing. You will not break me, bro. Like, I don't know what this is.
What do you think? What do you think they mean when they ask you that? You've heard people say this, right?
What
this
is my
truth?
It depends on what we're talking about. Like, I don't know. What do you mean?
I don't know either. It's a strange framing to me. Because since I was a kid, bro, I figured out at some point early on, it's like, wait a second, man. Everybody has their own idea of what's going on here. You know, on some fundamental level, I think we all kind of go through life like, bro, what is actually going on here?
Right.
We're floating on a ball in the middle of space right now.
Yeah, a lot of people have brought that up. That's something that comes up pretty regularly.
Right, but I'm saying that if you're a little kid wondering that, pondering that, it's also trippy to be like looking at the stars and the planets and be like, I want to be in space. It's like, bro, you are right
you
now.
Are.
You're floating right now
on
a ball hurtling through the middle of space.
Yeah, thank God we have gravity.
Right?
You know, if we didn't have gravity, we shoot your silly ass up there.
There would be no silly ass to even exist. You would never come into existence.
Yeah. I'm saying if you were just walking down the street and then gravity said, you know what? Fuck it. We're not doing this anymore. You're living without me. Just everybody starts flying into space.
It's over. Game
over. And you're going to have an excruciating death on the way out. You
Game
welcome.
Over.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about your pronouns.
Nobody cares about anything anymore.
And anything. That's it. Nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Your money, your wealth, your fame, your power, nothing. It's all irrelevant.
That threw me off.
My bad. I didn't mean to do that. I'm just saying, like, the kinds of things that we obsess about.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The pettiness, the silliness of so many modern debates.
Right.
Just become immediately pointless. They're pointless.
It's all pointless. For the most part.
It's like trying to suss out what actually matters amidst all the noise. What's the signal? Which is back to the point I was trying to make. It's like, being as a kid, I'd be like, wait a second. So everybody has their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own idea.
Right.
I don't know what your perception was as a kid about religion. You grew up in Kuwait when you were little, right?
Yeah.
So it's like Islam is
grew up till I was nine.
Till you're nine. So it's just like, you know, it's just part of the water. It's in the air you breathe and the water you drink.
Yes.
Like, this is truth. What this is what we believe in. There's
right.
One God. Muhammad is messenger of God.
You hear the call to prayer five times a day.
What does that do to your yeah. spirit and soul? It's like,
yeah,
this
it's
is
beautiful.
So then you grow up in it, but you're kind of indoctrinated into it, for lack
sure.
of a better word.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. At some point, you have to wrestle with that. Okay, well, if I was born in a Christian family.
Exactly.
If I was born in a Hindu family.
Exactly.
If I was born in an atheist family.
I'd probably still be Muslim.
You think so?
I mean, now, after like stepping away from being indoctrinated into it and growing up with it and being born in it, it's the one that objectively makes the most sense to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised you.
Because I had a real test. You know, it's like a real sensitive age. Your teenage years are like 13 to 18 or like really, even into your early 20s. But you're very sensitive from that age group. And I had a significant life happening with the war and then fleeing the war in 90 and then from 9 to my father passing away at 14. And then, you know what I mean? Like, it's just... Yeah, it's just one
formative
of those
years.
Things. Yeah,
formative
those
years.
Formative years were really tough, so it caused me to go into like a deep inner search, you know,
for the truth.
For the truth, yeah, absolutely.
So and that's back to what's your truth,
back.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Like, what's your truth? What's your truth?
Yeah.
So here's the point I'm trying to get. All right, get to this whole question of like, what's your truth? What's my truth? So the notion of subjective truth. Everyone has their own truth. To me, I just realized, bro, at some point, like, listen, man, I'm interested in what's actually objectively true.
Yeah.
Not my thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when someone be like, well, let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I feel. It's like, bro, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel.
Right.
I don't even care what I think. I don't care what I feel.
Exactly.
I want to know what's actually real. And the definition of that became, when I saw it clearly, is like, the only thing that's real for me personally, what I can sink into is... that which would be true even if I never existed.
Exactly.
It's not because it's not about me.
Right.
If I never existed, the sky would still be blue.
Right.
The grass would still be green.
In most parts of the country.
2 + 2 would still equal 4. And nothing has the right to be worshipped except God and Muhammad is messenger of God. Like, I really believe that genuinely as an objective truth. And that confirms Jesus and Moses and everything before it. So it's like, yeah, bro. This is just objectively true, which is why when I see a guy like Habib on
right.
the world stage on some like, you can't break me. This
he's
is
terrifying.
The truth.
That's he's the terrifying.
Truth. That's a
Habib
rare
is
thing,
one of the most beautiful human beings I've ever seen in my life.
Unique,
and also, like, I do wonder how long I could last. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I think he could probably kill you in like 10 seconds.
I think that's accurate. I think that's very accurate.
Like, kill
I think
you.
I
like
could
kill. He could probably kill. He fought bears, as you pointed out.
Might be
bears.
Less than 10 seconds. Kill, like, to kill me. He would never kill me.
Of course. We're talking
on
hypothetical.
Purpose,
we're talking about hypothetical.
Hypothetically, I think he would have me in some kind of like tapping situation. I don't know. It wouldn't be a second. Well, maybe, you know, depending on.
You know a lot about fighting. What kind of moves do you think he would try to do on you?
I mean, if he's just going to wrestle, I got like maybe 20 seconds of defense in me. You know what I mean? Before he just completely dismantles me.
Well, so what do you think?
Because I just
do?
Have like super basic knowledge of grappling.
You are considerably bigger than him.
That doesn't matter. He's going to murder me. He's still very strong. I'm saying that I have like 20 seconds of defense.
I would tap out before he touched me.
I would try. I would definitely try, but
just
he would get hold of me. No, I would be interested just to feel his strength and his like manipulation
I have
into
no interest
ending
in
my life.
I have no interest in this.
I'd be like, oh, I see how you set me up there to stop the wind from entering my body. And thank you. I believe in God even more. Thank you so much. Yeah, this near-death experience really opened things up for me. No, seriously. I think I'd last sincerely like 20 seconds before I was screaming for someone to help me.
No, yeah. Habib
he's that
is
strong.
Such an
he's also
dude, bro.
Not as small as he used to be. He's like a middleweight now.
Really?
Like his size? Because he's not fighting.
Right, he's not fighting. So he's put on
so
some
he's on to like a healthy weight.
Right. He doesn't have to be so lean.
It's unhealthy to be a fighter, by the way. It's like super unhealthy. Not just the punching and potential death from strikes.
Right. Just the condition of your body.
The condition,
for
the
a
way
fight
you put your body
than
through.
Normal, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just like weight cutting a stupid amount of pounds in 1 week. It's just insane sometimes. Like just to get to that home stretch, these guys are just wearing plastic bags and starving themselves until the weigh-in. And then after the weigh-in, they eat. Bro, the discrepancy sometimes is like 15, 20 pounds from weigh-in to fight. It's crazy.
People are confused, man, about what is true. This is a tricky thing, you know, like trying to figure out.
Khabib Nurmagomedov is the truth.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Q, you got what I need. What's up, Q?
But you said she just a friend.
Yeah, he just a friend.
Oh, baby, you got what
I need.
What's up, y'all?
What's up? How you doing? Did I tell you that I made a podcast deal? Yes. Yeah, that's what we're doing. You want to hop in?
And now, it's time for someone to suddenly show up. Please welcome Quintessa Swindell.
We're talking about basically the idea of truth. What is real? Everybody has an opinion about everything nowadays. A lot of people with opinions, no beliefs. What is real?
Mm-hmm.
This quote is one of my favorites. It's from a British or an English jurist in a legal opinion that he wrote a couple hundred years ago. Truth and falsehood, it has been said, are not always opposed to each other like black and white, but oftentimes, and by design, are made to appear hardly distinguishable. Just as the counterfeit thing is counterfeit due to its resemblance to the genuine thing.
That's an incredible quote.
Come on, quote.
Okay.
Come on, quote.
Right? Now, let me just unpack that for just a couple bucks.
You have to.
Right? Think about it. If I give you a fake $100 bill,
right,
but it's printed out with red ink, it's obviously fake. It's not even illegal. Trying to pass off a $100 bill that looks like the real thing is the essence of the crime. So we're living in many ways in the age of counterfeit truth. Think about how many fake news, alt facts, post-truth, artificial intelligence, virtual reality. It's like fake, 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 fake. This fakeness has become the new reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so real and it feels so truthful. It feels so convincing that it's like, dude, this is counterfeit truth. And how do we distinguish between the counterfeit and the real? Mm. And it's now we enter squarely into the domain of spirituality and religion and wisdom teaching, trying to figure out real from the fake. And one of my favorite prayers out from Islam as a Muslim, the Prophet of God used to pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, God bless him and keep him. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna tiba'ahu. God, show me the truth as true and give me the gift to follow it. Wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinabahu. Show me falsehood as false and steer me clear from it.
Come on.
Bars.
Come bars. On. Bars.
I feel that.
I feel that. Yeah, right?
So this is what, and you said earlier, you're like, yo, well, why did you say that? You're like, oh, I don't know what your mind would be like. What were you saying? You walk around life with this.
Yeah, it's terrifying, all the information he has in his head.
Oh, because of information.
It. Yeah, it was just, of course, I love it. It's important. It's empowering.
I got you.
But also like how you filter all that information.
Well, because it does scare me. For you. Yeah, no, and it scares me because of this counterfeit thing. Right. I believe in the phenomenon of God, of course, prophecy, and therefore also the Antichrist. Mm. The Antichrist is what? It's a counterfeit Messiah. Mm. And the Antichrist presents his truth as though it's so, and it's so convincing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And very good and sincere people get tricked by it. Mm-hmm. Sure. In every tradition, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and pre-monotheistic religions, they all talk about this dark Messiah at the end of time. That is going to come and trick everybody. And it's some devil shit.
Right.
That shit is scary, bro, because it's not that it's so clear that he's wrong. It's that it's convincing and it's a fake truth.
Like, I talk a big talk. You know what I mean? Like, I believe in God, so I'm not scared of anything. Like, I believe that my soul will travel, like, after my body's gone, like, unable to function. So I feel like good. Like, so I laugh at anybody who takes anything else really seriously. I'm like, bro, this is temporary.
Facts.
This is mad temporary. I think when you experience loss at a super young age as well, and you start to see that, it like unplugs you from the matrix at such an early age.
Yep.
Therefore, you see things for what they are really quickly and then realize like, man, I don't have time to fuck with you. It's like to waste any little bit of my time that are potentially that I don't know how much I have. It's like, I don't want to do that. And I know that time, my soul is infinite. Inshallah, God willing, is infinite post this dunya, this realm of existence. So I'm not pressed.
Right. Know? About like, what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not pressed. Like, I'm pressed, but I'm not pressed. I'm more pressed about, like, the people I care about and love.
Yep.
More than myself.
Yes.
Because I know I'm okay. I want everybody to know that, like, hey, don't worry about me. When I'm going, like, it's good.
I'm straight.
Yeah, right.
I'm straight.
Yeah, the believer doesn't fear death.
Yeah.
One thing, like, Mo, to your point, like, when you experience grief at a very young age, like, as a person who's, like, I lost my mom when I was very, very young.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. How old were you?
I was a year old.
Oh, my God.
And so, and my mom, she was, like, very, very young as well. But, like, you know, with that, like, experience of loss since I was a kid, I've always had this very, very, like, fascinating look on life. Like, I don't know how long I have.
Right.
So, like, every day, like, everything I do, like, I live in my mom's image and, like, do everything for my mom and with my mom. Mm. Like, even Black Adam, you know, like, those moments of, like, floating. I wonder how my mom's spirit moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing all of this, like, with her. And I think as far as what you were saying, like, profound wisdom and stuff, I think that's something that I go by. I'm not a very, like, religious person, but I feel like there is profound wisdom given from experience. The experience of loss for me has been the most grounding of, like, look, I'm straight. I'm only chasing the moment I get to be back with my mom. And so I'm good. Whether it's like, you know, whatever happens, happens, and it happens for the best, you know, but I'll be good.
Right.
So I feel you both
beautiful.
On that.
That's beautiful. I mean, no, I absolutely. And I just want to comment on the religious thing. You are a deeply spiritual person. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Deeply.
I think this is an interesting thing to broach as well. Like, what is the definition of being religious?
Religious.
Because,
right.
Because to some other people's definition of religious, because I do consider myself to be a religious person, but when it depends on how you define it as well.
Right.
I could be like on your side where I'm like, no, I'm deeply spiritual because your definition of religious is not what I'm talking about.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's like really important. I think people have like a real allergy to the word religion, understandably so.
Yeah, it's become a loaded term.
Completely loaded. And the way... how bad people suck as well.
Yes.
And how judgmental religious, pious people are sometimes. Facts. Not all.
Yes.
But some.
Again, I call that shit fake religion.
Fake religion.
I agree.
Back to fakeness.
Yeah, I agree.
Religion is being perverted, inverted, right?
Right.
It's like the great inversion we're living through. So things that words are becoming plastic words.
Right.
You know, it's like people use a term and then you say, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Like people nowadays, right, I talk to someone, I love talking to all kinds of people, but especially people who are deeply pondering these questions. What does everything mean? What happens to me after I die? Like, all questions actually fold into four questions.
Mm.
All religion, all philosophy, four questions, ultimately. Burning inside the human heart. Mm. Number one, what is the origin of being itself?
Mm.
Where the hell did all this come from? Number two, what is the true nature of human consciousness? Because I'm a human creature. Clearly, we're different than other animals. What the hell is this really? Number three, why does all of this exist? What is the purpose of it all? And number four, what happens to me after I die? Everything else is just footnotes and details and debating and arguing about side points. But actually, all religion, all wisdom teaching, all philosophy is ultimately concerned with trying to wrestle with these four questions. If you are a believer, you have your answers. Where did it all come from? God, the origin, the source of it all. What is really true nature of human consciousness? God made the human being have some weird, unique relationship with God. Why does it all exist? To glorify God, for God's enjoyment and pleasure. What happens to me after I die? I go back to God. If you don't believe, you also have your answers. Where did it all come from? Who gives a shit? What's really going on here? Who gives a fuck?
Who cares? Yeah.
Why does it all exist? To eat and shit. Who cares? Yeah. What happens to me after I die? I become food for worms.
Yeah.
That's it. But this is ultimately the whole fight about in the modern world is over this. Does it mean anything, bro? Is it meaningful?
Hmm.
Or is it nihilism? Meaningless.
God, it's so sad.
It's very
it's so sad why if you is, live in this like nihilistic
why,
type.
Why do you think there's so much depression, bro? I think I'm convinced the root cause of all this depression and suicidalism is basically a nihilistic notion that nothing means anything.
Of course.
Bored Ape Yacht Club.
Like
it's like, motherfucker, I'm not an ape. I'm not sorry. Bored.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with yachts. Right. And I don't want to be in your club. Yo. Hold on. We got Redneck Tom on the line. Let's ask him what he thinks about realness.
Shit, you know, man, it's just like, people are so damn dumb. I mean, just be real. Stop faking it. Why are you faking it? It takes more energy to fake it than just to be your real self, and then it just heals you personally, psychologically. You walk down the street feeling better about yourself because you're being damn real. Like, everybody knows you're lying, and you just stuck in your ego, just letting that just take over, and you need to just let it go. Just let it go, and just come out with me one time and go cow tipping, and then we just found these like little precious mushroom dudes. The tastiest Texarkana got down, get a little damn mushroom cap like that, and you just damn rinse it off. Don't be crazy. And you just eat the whole damn thing. Just wait about 45 minutes, and you'll start discovering how ridiculous you are. You understand what I'm saying? You're just going to discover how pathetic you were holding on to your little petty lies. And then over the years, these lies build up, and you transform into something else called a heathen. You goddamn heathen. You're full of black soot that you can't see on your heart, and you just out there, the damn fool. That's what you is. You're the goddamn fool. That's what my grandpappy used to say. That boy right there, the goddamn fool. I say, why is he fool? Look at him, he lying. If it sure is, just be your damn self, and you love yourself more. You know what I mean? Just come on down to Texarkana. We'll show you how to be real slick.
Oh, Redneck Tom. Wasn't that adorable listening to him fumble through what he thinks realness is?
He obviously can't relay his message as eloquently or sophisticated as I would be able to. But he's not wrong. Realness is important. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Joking Not Joking. We'll see you next time. This is your professor signing off. And as always, stay real, dimwits.
Joking Not Joking is a Luminary original. Original audio production, music, and sound design by Salt. Executive produced by Noah Gersh, Jamie Schuffman, Nick Panama, and Kenzie Wilbur. Head of Creative, Jordan Galvin. Head of Production, Liz LeMay. Head of Post-Production, Robert Adler. Produced by Imran Ali Malik and Aaron Kennedy. Supervising producers, Ali Strobel and Alice Byrne. Post-Production Supervisor, Ali Honore. Edited by Jeffrey Muchnick and Aaron Kennedy. Sound design and music by Matthew Cialelli. Mixed by Aaron Kennedy. Recorded by Aaron Kennedy, Zach Jurich, and Mario Borgata. Guest booking by Drive Entertainment and Hager Eldos. Additional music courtesy of Extreme Music.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.